But that's for the smaller model. The medium-sized model is where this gets really, really interesting. If we look into the benchmarks.
Meta is not really known as an AI company. Like, it's just not what you think whenever you think AI. Well, I believe that Llama 3 is putting them on the map to be a leading AI company that could be neck and neck with OpenAI as soon as this 400 billion parameter Llama 3 400 launches, because that will directly rival GPT-4.
How do I give you back your attention, energy, and time so you can find your ikigai? And your ikigai is your purpose, your meaning, your purpose. And it's what am I good at? Well, what do I love? What am I good at? What does the world need? And what can I get paid for? There's a lot of research to say that 93% of charities' money doesn't go to the recipient, it goes to administrative costs. They said, well, why don't you just send the money directly to the person's bank account? People think when is in the future. It's not. It's right now, today. They have fighter pilots. 2 years ago, you can just Google this stuff. The military is using AI fighter pilot jets, so 36 million pound jets. Not with humans, because humans have G-force gravity, like AI fighter pilot jets.
Welcome to Humanity Unchained, a show about the future of life reshaped by artificial intelligence. From practical insights on upskilling to existential talks about immortality, no topic is off limits. Welcome to the future with your hosts, Julia McCoy and Jeff Joyce.
Hello, hello, everybody. Jeff Joyce here.
Julia McCoy here.
Today we have an awesome episode with you, for you today. We have a guest at the second half. They're definitely going to be talking about stuff like UBI, kind of a taboo topic, but it should be a fun, engaging conversation. We definitely had a blast recording that part. So we're going to talk about today Llama. Llama 3 was released, and also Meta AI glasses got an update. We just want to kick that off. I'm going to jump right into it. And let me go ahead and share my screen here. And by the way, you're probably wondering, if you're watching the podcast, what's going on with all this new setup? Well, we're in a brand new office, currently under construction, and we're having a blast setting that up.
Yes, the Content at Scale headquarters officially launched, and there's boxes everywhere, chairs being assembled. Fun times here in Scottsdale.
Oh, yeah. So we see Meta's Llama proves a big win for open source community. So Meta did release Llama 3, and it has proven to be pretty awesome, to be honest. And we're not even experiencing their biggest model yet. So I scroll down here, we can actually get some stats. So when comparing Llama 3, their 8 billion parameter version versus Gemma 7b and Mistral, which are other open source models, we can see that Llama 3 performs very, very well. If you look at like math, that smaller model, like it's a scores of 30 as opposed to 12 and 11 for the other models. And across the board, it's just performing amazing. But that's for the smaller model. The medium-sized model is where this gets really, really interesting. If we look into the benchmarks that our users are reporting for these different models, when you compare Llama 3 versus Gemini Pro, Claude, and even ChatGPT, we're seeing that Llama 3 is right behind GPT-4 when it comes to user satisfaction. And what I mean by that is that we have users that are reporting that they're getting excellent results from Llama 3. And me personally, I've used Llama 3 with Grok. And if you haven't played with Grok and Llama 3 together, it's incredible. It feels like the conversation is instantaneous. Like you press enter and it's already responding to you, which is absolutely insane. But the language model is really, really close to ChatGPT. Now we know that ChatGPT overtook Claude Opus recently with the most recent update. But all this news is very, very exciting because we have a new, brand new open source model coming to the market that. It's only the second tier version of this. They still have a 400 billion parameter version coming later this year that will include things like a vision model built into it. So this is very, very exciting. And with these smaller models, it really makes it really interesting because then we can start to see stuff like open source wearable devices that have these models built into it. And so, the more we start creating hardware to kind of fit these models, we'll start to see more and more of these devices. that immediately leads me into the very next thing. And Julia, before I go ahead and do that, what are your thoughts on Llama and this release?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when Mark Zuckerberg announced this, which, I mean, as we're recording this podcast, this is like 7 day old news. I feel like it kind of shattered the AI world. And I'll explain what I mean by that. You know, Meta is not really known as an AI company. Like, it's just not what you think whenever you think AI. Well, I believe that Llama 3 is putting them on the map to be a leading AI company that could be neck and neck with OpenAI as soon as this 400 billion parameter Llama 3 400 launches, because that will directly rival GPT-4. And so right now, I think what we're going to see is all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes Meta on the map with LLM, which, you know, as our guest in the second half, Luke, he made a very good observation that these LLMs are a lot more than LLMs. He said we should be calling them LOMs, large object models. And so what that means is the input is so much more than just language now. It's like entire roadmaps to a degree. These models understand that. Not only do they understand that, they understand the patterns of like what it would take to get that degree and pass the bar. So it's not just knowledge. It's not just language that these models have. It's so much more than that. And it's interesting because I think Llama 3 really puts Meta on the map as a direct rival to OpenAI, which OpenAI hasn't really been challenged. I mean, we've seen Gemini get pretty close to GPT. We've seen Mistral. We've seen Claude. But this, as you're sharing, you were sharing earlier, you know, this shows when Meta launched this, they had a graph on that page and it's showing how Llama 3 blows past every benchmark. It, like, as soon as Mistral launched, which was, I hear, days before Llama 3 launched, Llama 3 outdid Mistral by a long distance. So now Mistral's latest model, as of like 8 days ago, is dead in the water compared to Llama 3. That's how far ahead Meta has jumped with this release. And I know you and I both, we listened to the, Jeff, you and I both listened to the podcast episode with Mark Zuckerberg on Dworkish Patel's YouTube channel. He's an awesome interviewer. You know, he speaks to these founders from a place of a lot of tech knowledge. So the questions he asks about data centers, models are really, really good. So in that hour, 20 minute interview, I thought it was really interesting what Mark Zuckerberg talked or said about open versus closed source. And he was asked that question, you know, what do you think about closed source? And obviously Llama 3 is an open source AI, which has the entire community fascinated. So something that Mark said is he believes that open source means the advancement of AI much more quickly than closed source. So he was talking about in this interview, a world where AI is widely deployed in a way where the word he used was it gets hardened and progressive. And he said the only way to do that is to have all of these different systems in check, but also with open source capabilities. And that's a lot more healthy than a very concentrated closed source direction only. So he's in favor of both, which I am as well. I think you need closed source. You need some regulations. There are a lot of risks and dangers. Mark did talk to that as well. You know, like there's been tampering of elections, and that tampering has gotten more and more sophisticated with these models launching, deep fakes, etc. So that's a risk that they're very much aware of. And they're building, I think he said, more than 14 different checks to find these risks and basically ban and stop people from working inside that risk zone. So it's interesting to hear what Mark says, where he does believe in, like, you know, you hear this from some of the best people in the industry too. Stable Diffusion's founder, Iman Mostak, Peter Diamandis. You know, it's kind of like all innovation and all the energy pointed towards this goal of a utopian AGI can be a really good thing as long as we have parameters for safety built in. So I really enjoyed hearing Mark speak to that. But I mean, it's amazing to see Llama 3 release and really put Meta on the map. One thing Dworkish asked him was, does this mean that you're basically pivoting from the metaverse? Because, you know, they laid off 20,000 employees after the metaverse didn't take off like Zuck thought it would. And he's like, you know, we're seeing the right direction to go in. And it's basically AI. AGI is the future. But he's still, like you were mentioning with the hardware and the glasses, you know, there's still ways for them to even make the metaverse better and bring people into virtual reality, which, I mean, that has a lot of dangers too. We can go there. But yes, it's pretty amazing to see this happen.
Yeah, if you would have asked me, in fact, Justin and I had this conversation. If you don't know who Justin is, he's the founder of Content at Scale, who Julia and I both work for. We had a conversation about, you know, who would kind of lead the space and who our bets are on. And Meta was never in the conversation.
Yeah.
But no. Now it is. And the thing is that we're seeing Meta make innovations, not just in AI, but wearables. And I've purchased quite a few wearables that I have not gotten yet. I bought the Open Interpreter, the O1, that's supposed to come later this year. The Limitless Pin, I bought that as well. I just ordered the R1 as well from Rabbit. And so this Thursday, I'll be picking up a pair of these Meta glasses. And the reason being is because with this new Llama model, they're also releasing an update to the Ray-Ban Meta glasses. Going to wear what these glasses are. They are basically just a pair of sunglasses that can have transition lenses so you can wear them inside, but they have AI built into it that allows you to take pictures. It can view your surroundings and give you insights about what you're looking at, do translations. You can listen to music, take calls, all sorts of things on these glasses. But this update makes it really, really interesting, which is incorporating the Llama models into the glasses that you're using. So I'm very, very excited about wearable technology on my face when it comes to AI glasses. I think that there's so much that you can do. For instance, in our guest conversation that we have later on in this episode, he talks about doing a LinkedIn exam where he basically had to take a screenshot and then of the exam and then put that into a language model using vision to then get the answer to the questions. Well, with the glasses, you could just look at your screen, ask Meta to analyze the question and give you the answer. So That's a hacky way of using it, but it is still a cool way to use a piece of technology. And I think that we're going to see this amplify even further once we start to see, you know, these kind of the hardware catch up to the language model and the technology, or should we should call it large action models, which is kind of what the transitional term has become, like we have in the next part of the conversation with our guest. But yeah, that is a fascinating conversation. I hope that you all stick around to definitely listen to that conversation because it is very insightful when it comes to kind of where we're headed when it comes to UBI, when it comes to the advancements that we're seeing in these models and why they're kind of determined as like large action models or LOM, I think it was the other one he...
LOM, yep, large object models.
Large object models. There's I like so action many models ways. Better. But yeah, you'll probably see a video from us probably next week about the Ray-Ban Meta glasses and using the new AI features when we have it inside the office. Julia, do you have any insights on the Meta glasses?
Oh, I can't wait till you get your hands on them. I didn't know you're getting them this week. So that makes me super excited. Yeah, we'll have to get some.
Yeah, it's been a surprise.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
but I was for Julia because the update.
Can't wait. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing to be able to communicate with AI in a way where you're just like using your eyes. I mean, that kind of mimics the idea of Neuralink, but without, you know, opening up your skull and putting a chip in your brain, which is not something I would ever want to do. So I would prefer to wear the Ray-Ban glasses. With that, Jeff, let's head on over into our second half with Luke Warner and chat with him all about UBI, post-labor economy, all this crazy stuff. Let's head on into that conversation. See you guys there. Welcome back to the second half of Humanity Unchained. Today we have a special guest, Luke Dominique Warner. I actually found him on X, formerly known as Twitter, when he replied to a tweet where I was talking about getting guests on the show that had a perspective on UBI. If you're not familiar with that, that is the concept of universal basic income, which is potentially a way for the world to have a baseline income post robotics, when robotics does 100% of human jobs, and that's called the post-labor economy. So that is on the horizon. As of this January, more than 2,700 AI researchers predicted the full automation of all human jobs by 2150. And if we cross-reference their prediction with the rate of acceleration, that could happen a lot sooner. So Luke, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's very nice to speak to knowledgeable people like yourself. Like, one of the reasons I was attracted to you is I saw your bookshelf and I was like, there's a big overlap between the books you've read and the books I've read. I wish more people read.
Oh, that's amazing. Very cool. Well, I love that. I think, you know, books provide so much knowledge, and knowledge is literally the difference between intelligence, levels of intelligence, or the lack thereof. So I love hearing that, especially that our books overlap. Jeff, I'll let you kick it off with a question for Luke. I know Jeff has been studying this as well and has a lot of thoughts that are pretty unique. How would we lead this? What kind of questions should we start with for Luke?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to start with, you know, the definition of like what a UBI even is. What does a post-labor economy even look like? I think once we define that, we can really start to get people kind of on board with the conversation. And so I want to start there. What would you could define UBI as?
So I think it's helpful to contrast it with what it's not. So it's not a government grant or a safety net if you're unemployed. It's supposed to be an unconditional payment, irregardless of any demographic ties. So whether you're employed or not, no matter what color your skin is, and no matter what your financial situation is, it's a completely uniformly distributed payment. So some countries do it successfully. So I think in America, in Alaska, you've got it. In Norway, they've got it. And in some of the other oil-rich countries, they have it. So it's basically you own shares and you get dividends as a citizen from the natural resources of that country. But our natural resources are predominantly knowledge-based and technology-based. And so these companies have trillion-dollar valuations, and there's a lot of wealth to be shared. And the whole economy only really works, it's like water and electricity, is when there's a flow of current. And so if you've got stored up capital, you know, people can't really play. So you really want like people to be able to engage with each other. And so the money's got to move around, considering that we create it anyway.
Now, you mentioned this is already occurring. I would love to explore that a little bit more. You said Alaska. We'll start there. What have you seen as you, I assume, you know, you've studied this. What have you seen they specifically implement that is UBI?
So I'm not going to claim to be an expert on the specific Alaska one, but my understanding is it's the oil reserves and it gets paid to the citizens. I stand to be corrected as a dividend. But in 2014, I read a bunch of good books. One was Zero to One by Peter Thiel, then Bold and Abundance by Peter Diamandis. I've been part of that community for a decade. And there was a book that really flipped me by Rutger Brugman called Utopia for Realists. And they had dozens and dozens of UBI studies around the world, basically showing that net-net people are not going to get drunk and fall asleep on the couch. Like 2% of people will get drunk and be lazy. But they basically showed through hundreds of UBI studies. Currently, there's one in Canada right now for £2,000 a month, and there's one in the UK right now for £1,600 a month. And what these studies showed is that women would leave abusive relationships and people would leave jobs that didn't have meaning and purpose or didn't respect their morals, ethics, values, and principles, and people would upskill themselves educationally. So we don't need to experiment with UBI anymore. We've run hundreds of experiments globally. And you can just do desktop research, or you can read, there's dozens of books on UBI and they go through all the case studies. So I've been on a personal mission since 2014 to build the infrastructure for UBI distribution. And I can tell you a bit more about that later if you're interested.
Yes, let's go there. I'd love to hear more about that. And just a quick note, I completely agree. I actually am getting ready to publish on my YouTube channel a video called The Road to UBI, and 100% referencing the studies you exactly mentioned, people that are seeking jobs actually have more time to find a job that aligns with their values versus the person driven by the need to pay their bills. That need is often stress related. It induces things like inflammation, more diseases. So not only do you have a better quality of job, you can actually have better quality of health with a baseline income. So, and what you were saying about being able to leave an abusive relationship, I saw that too in the studies, and that is really powerful. You know, I've had firsthand experience having to leave a situation I grew up in, and my income provided me a way out of there. So all of that very well said. Yeah, but let's go into like, what have you been doing since 2014? That's pretty interesting.
I feel like I'm speaking to the converted you. You just hit on so many points that like now I'm like, I'm just going to repeat myself. about 2 years ago, I was publishing a book called Blockchain is Karma, A Path to Universal Basic Income. I recently published it on Amazon, and you can get it for free on my website. So it's paid on the paid channels, and it's free on the social media channels. And it's called Vitruvian Epoch. It's the ikigai of art, spirituality, business, and technology. And my hope, so I did an electrical engineering degree with a triple major, nuclear power, mobile broadband networks, and digital signal processing. And I'm now doing an MBA in artificial intelligence, or an MBA with a specialization in AI. And the goal for technology has always been like, how do we free humanity, not from labor, because you get labors of love, but from repetitive, dull, dangerous, boring, like types of tasks. And the vision should really be, how do you free up people's core resources? So your core resources are attention, it's 1,000 times more powerful than money. Then you've got energy, 100 times more powerful. Then you've got time. And energy times time is power. And that's your electricity bill or your phone data bill. So everybody has attention, energy, time, and power. And they can exchange that. The masculine energy of power is money and technology, and the feminine energy power is sexual energy for creativity. And so the goal for me of universal basic income is to say, well, how do I give you back your attention, energy, and time so you can find your ikigai? And your ikigai is your purpose, your meaning, your purpose. And it's what am I good at? Well, what do I love? What am I good at? What does the world need? And what can I get paid for? And what the world needs is the UN Sustainable Development Goals. There's 17 of those. Whereas the collective society, we said, these are the 17 big things that as 8 billion people we face. So I started, we started out as like idealists at university. We wanted to build this thing called the City of Light, where either we're going to buy like a piece of desert or an island, or we're going to stitch some container ships together. We're just going to start from scratch. And I was inspired by a guy called Jacques Freres, and it was all about resource-based economies. I ended up going into investment banking, and that was very helpful because I didn't think banking needed to exist, at least not on a retail side, because you could just deal with computers. But on the corporate and investment side, if you're funding like nuclear power plants and railway lines and bridges, you kind of have about 10,000 people involved in those projects. And so you need some form of trust and coordination. And so the big challenge that banking had is this idea of onboarding a customer. So it was taking 9 months. I brought it down to 6 weeks, then down to 2 weeks. And I could only get the 2 weeks down to 2 minutes by leaving the bank and starting a business called Integrate Me. So you can Google Integrate Me. It was kind of inspired by Make America Great Again. So that it's Inter, then Great Me. And the whole purpose of that was to say, I don't want to fill out forms and stuff. I don't want to carry all these documents and all these loyalty cards. Can I just have a self-sovereign identity where I have this master customer index of all my personal information and all my documents, and they're all verified in the back end? And banks and telcos, whenever you sign up to a product or service, you have to fill out forms and provide docs. And in the background, they do these KYC checks, facial recognition, check the documents, OCR, barcode scanning. And we made that whole process 2 minutes for the first transaction, and then 1 second thereafter. So almost like single sign-on. So it's one click onboarding. But it checks all the credit bureaus, it goes to the home offices, the traffic departments, and it happens in one click. And we authorized 10 trillion shares for the business to give to the user base to effectively say, well, if you're an Integrate Me user and you're helping us make money, well, we're going to pledge the majority of the profits of our business to universal basic income. And if any other countries or organizations around the world wanted to distribute income, there's a lot of research to say that 93% of charities money doesn't go to the recipient, it goes to administrative costs. They said, well, why don't you just send the money directly to the person's bank account? And you're like, well, you've got to solve for the unbanked. They have to have the self-sovereign identity. You can't say it's on the blockchain or anywhere else. Apparently blockchain gets censored off YouTube, so I don't say blockchain anymore. But You can have the self-sovereign identity with a verified human proof of life, verified phone numbers, emails, bank accounts, addresses, all sorts of stuff. And you can just transfer money directly to them. So I've pledged the majority of all my business's profits to Universal Basic Income. And I hope that at some point, other people, like there's a lot of billionaires which have what they call the giving pledge, where they pledge 99% of their wealth to some form of philanthropy. And these tech companies, tech is growing at a rate of 10x every 6 months. So Moore's Law is normally 2x every 18 months. So 10x every 6 months, 12 months, it's 100. 18 months, it's 1,000. 24 months, you got 10,000, then 100,000, then 1,000,000. Like it's a super exponential curve. And there'll be so much value derived. And my biggest fear for society is not AI. It's always human nature. Like there's 180 million people that use ChatGPT. They grew to 100 million users in 1 month. But if you take 180 million people and you divide that by the 8 billion population, you get 2.25%. So it's an incredible tool. And there's dozens of tools which are far better than ChatGPT. But if you walk into the public, you walk into your high street, you walk into a train station and you speak to 100 people, 98 out of every 100, you say, have you heard of ChatGPT and AI? Never heard of it. And they'll tell you to fuck off, that you're crazy, that you're a scammer. And so my big fear is if you don't know that ChatGPT exists and that there are tools that are even better than ChatGPT, like Sam Altman and his friends are betting that you're going to have founders, single founders with billion-dollar startups, because you're just going to have all these AI agents which you can make do things. And if you want to do the traditional early adopter, late adopter laggard, people are going to be trillionaires, and you're going to have, there's 2 billion people on the planet today that live on £1 a day. And you're going to have a small pool of maybe 100 million trillionaires, and you're going to have 8 billion people living on a dollar a day, because it doesn't make sense to employ people. You think certain jobs are safe. The jobs which are not, like the low order jobs are the safest, like a butcher, a hairstylist, things where you engage with people. But if you're a lawyer, dead. If you're an accountant, dead. Tax advisor, anything with, so people call them large language models. They're not language models anymore. They are object models and action models. So you've got video, you've got sound, you've got images, and now you have actions. Like they can actually perform actions, financial transactions on your behalf. So if you just think language, what is all legislation? What are all laws? What are all policies? What are all books? What are all documents? What are all university degrees? So if you only think of it as a large language model, it's a billion times smarter than you, and it's getting at a rate of 10x every 6 months. So my view is that we reached AGI a long time ago. I was able to clock every single LinkedIn exam. They put them on 60-second timers. So I thought, well, I'm doing an artificial intelligence thing, so I didn't feel bad for like hacking the LinkedIn exam. All I did, you get these little quizzy badges, and they were smart. I couldn't like select the text and then put it into the OpenAI playground, ChatGPT 3.5. This was in 2021. So you couldn't select it because they had protected the image of the exam. And they put a 60-second time on it. So all I did is I said screenshot, then I opened up a different tool which says image to text, like transcription. And then I put it into the OpenAI playground, and I was basically just rushing for the 60-second of time. And I aced every single one of those things that you needed a 4-year degree for. Wow. So it's not, I always say it's why, what, who, when, and how. If it's the how is your 4-year degree. They can ace any exam. And it doesn't matter that they can ace it. It might take you 3 hours to write the exam. It can ace the exam in 3 seconds. So the why is, why do you wake up in the morning? What's your purpose? What's your meaning? What is, like, what are you doing? Who do you serve? Leadership is about service. So you find your gift and you give it to humanity. When, people think when is in the future. It's not. It's right now, today. They have fighter pilots. 2 years ago, you can just Google this stuff. The military is using AI fighter pilot jets, so 36 million pound jets, not with humans, because humans have G-force gravity, like AI fighter pilot jets. For me, AGI, it's already been here for a long time. It's, for me, ChatGPT has 2% market share in the world. It's literally those who are a billion times more capable than others. how do you get 100% market adoption? If they don't want to adopt it, well, there's going to be trillionaires and there's going to be £1-naires.
What an interesting thought process to follow. I think that you shared so much that, you know, what makes sense to me, and Jeff, you can tell me what you think too, is, you know, we have Luke back because the main thing we want to do, we're going to wrap up here, is not overwhelm people. And I think one core point that you got across that is so critical, I mean, to me as well, in my role as president at Continent Scale, going out and speaking, educating people, you know, it's just to make people aware. I think it's interesting what you said. You go to a train station and 98% of those people gathered there don't even know what ChatGPT is. And that's interesting. You know, over here in America, I think it depends on where you go. In Arizona, I found surprisingly, whether it was a barista at a coffee shop or somebody in a retail chain checking me out or somebody in a grocery store, the majority of people here know what ChatGPT is. So it's interesting to see like that divide, right, across the country.
If I went into the small villages, it was probably like 1 out of every 1,000 people knew. And as an entrepreneur, you just eat rejection for breakfast. But when I went into the center of London, like where there's more affluent people, I found like 5 out of every 100 people knew. But of those 5 people that knew, and this was as like as recent as a week ago or a couple of days ago, of the 5 that knew, probably 3 of them said, yeah, I used it and I don't know what the fuck it was about. Like I didn't get it. And wow. I was like, you're sitting on super intelligence. Yeah. Like 99% of the answer is the question. And they're like, no, I needed sophisticated prompts. I'm like, no, you needed a question. If you ask great questions, you get great answers. You ask vague questions, you get vague answers.
Very true. So, garbage in, garbage out.
In my opinion, I do consulting. I actually consulted indirectly for OpenAI and Google about 2 years ago to say, how do we do royalty distribution to artists? And we've built the solution for the Vitruvian Key where you can do one-click raises and one-click royalties to fans. And it's just... So people will hire me and pay me exorbitant fees to automate their business. And so the directors and the CEO and the shareholders love me. And then the other 5,000 staff members hate me because in a couple of days, like you can say, I've given you back 99% of your time. And then they're like, oh shit, I can't just say I sent 5 emails for the day. I've now got to learn something different. Like people are so happy in knowing what their day-to-day is and it being predictable and like they can plan their week and they can plan their holidays. And now you're effectively saying, well, all that boring, dull, repetitive work, it's gone. It's all automated.
Yeah.
And then you challenge people to say, well, you know, what is your purpose? Like explain what an ikigai is to them. And very rarely, like 1% of the time, people love what they do, but 99% of the time, they hate what they do. They only work to pay bills. And then you'll say, well, what if we give you the gift of being able to follow your dreams? And most people don't think, they never thought about the possibility of following their dreams.
Yeah. And now we actually have a path to do that. Well, it's been amazing to hear your thoughts, Luke, and see your journey since 2014 working on UBI. I think you're doing great work. And even though you might feel alone in this, keep going. Keep pushing.
Well, I'll ask you as a gift from your side, you're much more well socially connected than me. I've had a lot of YouTube channels banned because apparently talking about UBI is not a popular thing and talking about blockchain and self-sovereign identity is also not a popular topic. But if you could just introduce me to 2 or 3 other podcasters, I'll be so grateful.
Yes. And for those of you listening, this is Luke Dominique Warner. Definitely follow him on X. Look up the books he mentioned. And again, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.